Welcome. Welcome.
Welcome. Well, surprised myself on that one.
Welcome to the Dance Party 247 podcast. Tonight we have DJ T, DJ Envy, and myself, Sam Saint. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and hit the notification bell if you're watching on YouTube and Spotify, and enjoy all of our content. Over to you, DJ T.
I was reading, not the actual magazine, but the online version of DJ Mag. Although, who was here gone to the supermarket and ended up reading DJ Mag? And then like, oh, we opened it back half an hour later. Anyway, read an article in DJ Mag today about the top 100 clubs. And you can vote on them. The voting finishes on the 11th of May. So it's like their top 100 DJs. Thing is, I went in to vote. And then you get through, you put your details in. And then it doesn't give you any suggestions or anything like that. It says 1 to 5, club and town or country. And you go, don't know. There's like blank. But it got me thinking, what's your favourite nightclub and why? And what constitutes a great nightclub? How do you make it kind of perfect nightclub, or is there such a thing?
The perfect nightclub doesn't exist. So I think,
well, might do in your own head. I mean, it doesn't have to be a real thing.
I think what makes a good nightclub are the people and the music. Simple as that. If you've got good people, and you've got decent music, regardless if you know they're a world class DJ or they just come out of their bedroom but they're a good DJ, that's irrelevant.
Or even if the dare say on controllers.
We won't go down that road because it's not a DJ, is it?
Long as they're banging the music and banging the tunes.
Yeah, we would only be judgmental because
you are.
You know, I think, yeah, you know, Egg in London is a good club. Sam agrees, you can see his little face there. And I've been to Egg, I don't even know how many times, and I never went there when there was a headliner on. But every room you go in, the music's top quality. And these are local DJs. You know, they're not, you know, your 20, 30 grand an hour DJs, they're not. But they're decent. And that makes a night, like, you know, as long as the music's good, the people are good. That's it. Right. Thank you for listening to the Dance Party 247 podcast.
No, but okay. You got to have an atmosphere. You got to have ambiance. Yeah.
That all comes from the people, doesn't it?
Okay. So
everything stems back to the DJ and the people.
If you have a great night, great people, you'll find that almost in every, you'd hope to find that in most cities around the world. So then what distinguishes a good club from a great club to a poor club?
I will attempt to answer that question. And I fear I may regret it because I haven't thought this through in my head before I say it. But my initial instinct was that sometimes a great club isn't great because it's a great club. Let me explain. So you get a lot of people in this world, followers will go where the crowd is. Initially, one person leads that crowd. I think a great club now is called a great club because they've had legendary acts in the past, like Envy said, your 20, 30 grand artists, headliners. And that's what makes that club great because so many people have had that great night there. I walk into a club, I don't necessarily see the difference from one club to another. Visually, looks different, but the fundamentals of it is still the same. You've got people and you've got music. And that's where I don't think I've ever been to a bad club on a night out. In other circumstances, I've been there, yes, you know, looking at the DJs, etc. We've been over there numerous times. But as a consumer, as a visitor at a club, I don't. As a raver, yeah, whatever you
want. Well, okay, because you've got clubs that can be like really, really small, compact, and only hold 50, 70 people, for example. What's funny about that? And then you've got your mega clubs, which will hold, go to Ibiza and hold 10,000. So you know, there's the atmosphere is going to be completely different between those two events. And you can have an absolute best night of your life, and the club has got less than 100 people in it.
Yeah, but I never said, and Sam never said, about the amount of people in there. We just said good people.
Yeah,
DJs.
First of all, to me, it's you go in somewhere whether there's people in there or not, before the music's even playing. To me, you need to have a good vibe about the place. So it's got to wow you and go, whoa, yeah, this is like, you know, I've died and gone to heaven kind of thing. To that extent, I'm kind of one way and the other, I'm at one extreme to the other, or it's completely different and it's basically I can't see bugger all because there's nothing here and there's just strobes going. And then those kind of clubs, it's more about how the music wraps around you and makes you feel. But you could have just a different experience, but no better nor worse, by having the wow factor and have just as good music, probably different music, because obviously vibes of the place will, you know, you're not, if you go into a deep and dark dungeon, you're not going to get sort of charty stuff. You're going to get techno or trance, or you're going to get something a little bit heavier or something like that. But you could go to a nice swanky little place that's like got the wow factor, and there's that fact that you go around all night and you can't get around the place. It's like you go into room or one side of the warehouse to the other side of the warehouse, and like, you know, you don't see the same faces.
All right, okay. So if I put it like that, the best night I ever had, going out raving when I'm up, because I'm old, right, was under London Bridge train station. That was the best place I ever went. It was rain dance. No air conditioning. The floor was all battered. There's all crap up the walls. You know, all the sweat and the condensation was all dripping from the ceiling. But it was the best night. It was just the best night I've ever had. You know, the floor was all dirty. It was all grubby and nasty, but it was great. Yeah. It weren't about what it looked like.
Well, it didn't
matter.
But that adds to the ambience. It's still the thing, isn't it? The fact that it's been neglected. Some places actually make themselves on purpose to look like that. But I'll give you a straight example. Yeah. How many times have you seen them? They've come in and out of fashion, ripped jeans. They're made to look
as you.
Okay. But they've been made to look distraught. They're brand new, but they're made to look distraught. Obviously, that's the vibe that they're going for, you know, dark. Some places just end up that way. They were never intended to be that way, but just ended up there. Yeah. And other places, you go to really, really posh places around the world. And like, you know, it's there. What I must say, one thing it doesn't, for, I don't know about you two, I've probably got an idea where your thoughts both are as well. One thing it doesn't make a good club, makes great business sense, but doesn't make a good vibe for the average punter, is a VIP area and VIP rooms. That doesn't do anything for me.
I think if you're going to go out and you want to go out to a VIP, go somewhere all posh and swanky, you know, don't go to your local club. It's got a little VIP area because it's just no point. You know, if you want to go out and properly have it, VIP is a waste of time. There's just no point. If I was a club owner, I would go back to the old days where it was all painted black. You know, you've got the strobes going, you've got your lights going, you know, you've got a proper pucker sound system, not, you know, all these plastic cabinets, it'll be wood cabinets, you know, to give that nice sound. You know, I would never want to own a club and have VIP and all that. It's just not for me.
My issue with that is that, yes, okay, I get your reasons why you wouldn't have VIP if you was a club owner. But, like T said, from a business point of view, it makes complete sense. If you was a business owner and you were, you know, building a nightclub or you bought a nightclub, I think in this day and age, you would have to have a VIP area.
I would say that it depends the kind of clients that you're trying to attract. So if you're trying to attract people who are influencers or people want to be seen to be seen, they will not be going to a dingy nightclub where there's no lighting and you're bumping into people and it's a completely different vibe than a VIP room within a club, well lit. I mean, you've got all your neons and all that kind of stuff, your cocktails on around, and then you seem to be seen. What I find with VIP is that you're detached from the main event itself. You're watching the main event. You're not part of the main event. That's what I have with it. From a business point of view, it makes sense.
It depends where they've situated the VIP, though.
But the VIP, they try and cut it off to a degree, don't they? So they either put it as a mezzanine floor, or they put it in a separate room, or they cordon it off with obviously ropes or what have you. Those are on the main floor that cordon off the ropes. You're still in the same room.
That's what I don't understand. Why would you go to a club upstairs or in another room when what's the point in going? You might just stay at home and watch MTV.
You're not part of the event, are you?
No, I don't. It's weird. I don't disagree with it, what you just said there. But I also do disagree with it. It's not something I would do through choice normally. The first time I went VIP in a club was my mate's 18th birthday. I don't remember it. I passed out at 10 o'clock and there I laid till 3 o'clock in the morning in the toilet. I don't remember it.
Good night.
Couldn't tell you. when I went to a club near me fairly recently, tail end of last year, was VIP there, and I didn't feel I was cut off, but that's because they'd situated the booth or the VIP part close enough to the main floor that you can still get that vibe. You can see everything and you could directly see the stage as well, and you were closer to the stage than what you would be if you was out on the main floor. So that particular club.
That's quite rare, isn't it?
It is rare that I guess you can sit in a VIP and feel part of it. But then again, it comes down to business owners not necessarily thinking, we're talking about this as from a DJ's point of view, because we're all DJs. Do the business owners or the architects that design these clubs even think of that? Probably not. So we're seeing it, slaying it.
But you've got to remember, a lot of clubs are just old buildings that used to be something else and they're redesigned.
So yeah, I mean, look at Printworks. That's a classic example.
Yeah. But if you do put a VIP area in, people want to use it. And I've never understood it. I used to go Camden Palace. Anyone remember Camden Palace? You might know it as Coco's, Sam.
I've heard of it now, yeah.
Yeah, so back in the day, before they changed it to Coco's and it went downhill, it's just a crock of crap now. Camden was absolutely banging. There was no VIP. You could get right up close to the DJ, but not close enough to touch. Do you know what I mean? He's on a stage and then he was set back, but you could be right in front of him. Yeah, they had three floors, it's all balconies, no VIP. Everyone who went there was on the same level. And we won't talk about what level that was, but everyone was on the same level.
I would guess that we're not superstar DJs, so we can't say on behalf of superstar DJs, although DJ Wongi is apparently. Anyway.
He's a founder, mate.
He's a legend in his own mind, isn't he? But anyway, those DJs that basically are residents, I would say that from their perspective and perspective of us putting events on as well, that the better nights, the better vibe of places that don't have VIP or the VIP is not in action, in essence, because you get a completely different vibe. If you're going out as a punter, then yeah, okay, I can see why you have VIP, gives you status. But the thing is, sometimes it just feels a bit funny to me. If you go to a VIP, it's just a step up in the same venue where you are. If you're in a bit of a dive, which is there's a good few of them out there, you're in the VIP in a dive nightclub. Yeah, to me, is if you go to a really, really posh one, everything's really posh to start off with. And then you've gone a little bit posher. So it just depends what club you're going to. The VIP almost is like, it just means that because you're separated, you can charge more money or you have to buy more drinks or whatever. But if you're in a posh nightclub, then you're already getting the vibe of the poshness. It's not like, oh, it's dark and dingy there.
So
it's all lit up in there.
I'll give you an example of a posh nightclub. Green Park, Tiger. Right. That would be classed as a posh nightclub now, wouldn't it, Sam? In London.
That was actually the nightclub I went to for my
first. Yeah, I know. That's why I thought. I thought I'd bring it up.
Yeah.
And they've got your basic seat, and then they've got their VIP. I've only been there once. I walked in. I paid far too much for a drink. I said, "Sod that! I'm off to Camden," because it just weren't for me. But you can see why people go there, because it's just about showing how much wealth you got, how much money you got.
To be seen, as I call it. Yeah,
that is it. That is why in that particular place, it's more for people with a shed load of money.
But are they there?
People do go there. Don't get me wrong. Like Sam's been there, I've been there, but it is more of a money area in around Green Park.
But again, those the clubs that kind of play that music. The music policy in those clubs is very typically very commercial.
Yeah, it weren't what, you know, what we play on a Saturday.
If you're going to a club that's already to see a headliner that is known in the DJ world, and obviously they make tunes as a flat, but obviously not top 40 criteria. You know, I know Patrick Topping eats everything. You can't say obviously some of your older guys. There's all sorts of DJs out there. I just can't think of it off the top of my head. But you would go see these guys, and you'd want to feel and be part of the experience. You're there for the music, irrespective of the venue. Doesn't make a difference what the venue is. You know you're going to have a good night because the music is going to, like you said before, dictate the night and the main vibe of the night. And we've looked at venues and we've gone, nah, too posh. We wouldn't even go in there. Wouldn't entertain getting in touch with them, haven't we? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you know that's the vibe that we were trying to create, the night we're trying to create, would just not work with their clientele. Just wouldn't work with their clientele. But yeah. There's nightclubs out there. I can't remember which one it was. We're talking years ago now. I remember Pete Tong talking about it. They put jackhammers, you know, the old jackhammers that you drill the roads with. They put those under the dance floor. On the dance floor. So obviously when the bass is going, they're bumping up the floor as well. Do you feeling it? It's like, I think it was somewhere in London. I can't remember where it was. Apparently as well, according to Pete Tong, the average nightclub has a sort of span of being popular for about 5 years, and that's it. Then it goes downhill because out of fashion. Or so, like the longevity of these places, you can see why somewhere that, like I said before, it started off with probably a reasonable decor that can end up not being a bit cheesy and, you know, not well looked after, because the investment to go back in. And we've been places like that, haven't we? That sort of, like I say, it could do with a bit of a revamp. It's not quite dingy and dark enough. It's not, on the other end, it could be, it's not posh enough either. It's somewhere between.
Yeah, it's always that grey area, isn't there?
I think it's part of that effect on the atmosphere, like say, lighting, you know, what way do they go? It's a big thing. From my point of view, a non-negotiable for this, and I think, given the conversations we've had at several of the venues we've been to, there's one kind of gimmick, non-negotiable, of owning a nightclub. And if I had my own nightclub, it would be full of them. Absolutely full of them.
Pole dancers?
No. That's not a bad idea, but well, I was thinking of. Can you guess what it is? It's not pole dancers.
Bad DJ.
Gimmick. He's obligatory, mandatory. Tick the box. Bad DJ.
Let's be honest. We've seen that in a lot of the venues we've been to, haven't we? Let's not lie.
So what does Sam
and
say?
And that is very gimmicky, isn't it? It won't be them stilt walkers we see with it.
No.
I can't think
they were scary, man. I don't like people on stilts. As a fun fact, I hate people on stilts.
They were twins as well.
You paid far too much attention to the stilt walkers, mate, because I had no idea they were twins.
Well, being me, they're saying a lot for me being the shortest. What would Sam Saint want in a nightclub that we know that he likes?
Uplifting house.
Well, it's nothing to do with the decks or the equipment in that case.
It is gimmick. It's similar to lighting. You should have them in every nightclub.
Oh, you've got a smoke machine. Yeah.
Bang on. I swear to God, every festival you see, you know, whether it's out, whether it's up. I mean, look at, we've all seen Kevin and Perry, right?
Amnesia, mate. It's just they've got cannons bolted to the ceiling, and they just come down.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like that, how can you not have something? I'm not fair enough. Not every club could probably go to that level from a health and safety point of view.
But, like a fire brigade come and get them.
You know what I mean? Can you imagine?
You can have a quick dispensing fog, and anyway, it's more fog than but yes. I like the water. I like the waterfall ones. You know, they come over dry ice. It comes like it has a waterfall.
But the only thing with them is, you know, they are very, very thick, aren't they? And they do stay a very long time.
Yeah, but they stay to the ground. They hug the ground. They don't go up to the ceiling, so they won't set off your alarms. They just because of the dry ice on the ground.
I don't think that works on its own. That dry ice on it does not work on its own.
No, with I didn't say you wouldn't have your normal fog machine.
No, you still have to have the fog machine, but with a fog machine, you don't have to have the dry ice.
No, I'm just saying what I like, which is very similar to the fog machine. It's like me saying, oh, there's this flashy, but there's this flashy as well. I like that flashy. It's like they are very similar. I wouldn't have, if I had a choice, obviously the obvious one is just a smoke machine. I say a fog machine, a smoke machine, but.
You've got haze machines as well now, haven't you?
Hazers and foggers, they're just thinner and they disperse quicker. But yes, ballpark. But I do like a cascade, and then obviously hanging around your feet. You look like you're on top of the pops. That's an old reference, by the way.
do you know where they should have them? Right? And I think this would be cool. Have them up high and it just...
It does,
down.
Yeah,
it does. They don't do that, do they? Normally, when you see them, they're on the floor.
Yeah, and they pump them outwards, and obviously it just hangs on the floor. But what I mean is, if you had them...
Coming from that...
Looks like a waterfall.
You'd have one either side, and then a smoke machine in the middle.
I don't know how well you're going to be able to see this. But
I can't see it at all, Sam, because all I'm getting is... All right, that's better.
Thing is, you've got
that's Ibiza, isn't it? Yeah, look at that. That is just blasting banging. Them.
But the thing is, there's already, before even the fog machine obviously blasted them to pieces, there was already an atmosphere already there, wasn't there? Because you can see when the lights go around, the lights only work at the very best when there's atmosphere to actually bounce them off. So some are very specific, which you'd put on a dance floor. Obviously, some are basically just aerial, just like your strobes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But obviously, a lot of the lights, especially like lasers as well, they cut through. They have to cut through some atmosphere to get the very best out of them.
So and that's where you need your smoke.
That's where you use some smoke machines. Absolutely.
So I'm gonna run off some questions. Just yes or no answers required from you both. No explanation.
That's gonna be difficult for us too.
Yeah, I know. But you've got to do it. So, first question, would you have a VIP area in your nightclub?
No. If I owned it...
I literally just said no explanation, just yes or no. And
if I was the owner, yes.
Yeah, you're building this nightclub as you want it. Money is sorted, like, you're fine.
Right, okay, then no. If I can get away with it, no.
I wouldn't either.
No, I wouldn't want to.
Dark and dingy,
yep.
Or a little bit more upbeat.
Dark and dingy.
Dark and dingy,
because that's where you wouldn't have a VIP, because you couldn't see where you're going anyway.
Everything would be painted black. I mean,
dress code or not?
No dress code.
No dress code.
How much are you charging entry?
Depending who's playing. Top probably be about 20 quid. Probably average fiver for a night in the week. Maybe 10 of somebody special on the weekend. Somewhere in that range. Affordable.
Envy.
Right. T's obviously talking up north prices, isn't it? Let's talk London prices. You know what I mean?
You know what I mean?
If I owned a club, it wouldn't be open Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Friday what?
It would literally be open Friday, Saturday. That's it. And bank holiday Sundays.
You wouldn't even ask that question. He's got off on one, isn't he? How much to get in? Doesn't matter how many days a week it's open.
No, it does because it sounds like you're open all week.
No, I'm not open all week. I said depends who's on. The question was, how much would you charge?
Yeah, and I'm saying it'd be a minimum for a tenner.
I told you, you cannot get a straight answer. Yes, no.
A minimum of a tenner. Special event would be anything between 20 and 30 quid.
Okay, you have an unlimited budget for your first act, for your opening night, so you've got a headliner. Cuts. See?
These are not yes no answers, are they? Because they're still expanding.
No, they're not.
they're one word answers.
You mean very, very short answers. Can I have multiple lineups long as it's within my budget?
No, that ain't what you said. Yeah. Who would be your headliner?
No, your headliner act.
Just a one act. I wouldn't have a headliner.
Just one headliner.
I don't know who'd have as a headliner because I'd have multiple in there.
All right, fine. You can have three headliners.
Right, I would have Fatboy Slim, Eats Everything, and Patrick Topping.
No Carl Cox.
Oh, I'd have Carl Cox in at some point. But you're asking me who I'd want on my opening night, which you can only do once anyway. I'll give you a answer.
Is your club standard gear Pioneer? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
Reluctantly.
Yeah, you can hear the reluctance in his voice. I just wanted to get that one.
Although what he's going to do, he's going to have Laidback Luke down as his residence at Orby on Denon.
Can I just
add a bit more to that? I would have me two Pioneers, me V10, and then either side of that would be 6,000s.
So he's got the biggest DJ booth in the world and only space for 10 people on the dance floor. But hey-ho, the DJ's got what he needs.
It don't matter how many people you're playing to, mate, as long as every one of them's having a good time.
Well, in your case, no. I mean, as long as the DJ's happy, you know what I mean? It's not about the punters, is it?
One act, one DJ, artist, whoever you want to be your resident for your first year. Are you picking?
Fatboy Slim.
Would be.
Fatboy Slim. Okay, then. So let's repeat that. Same questions to you, Mr. Sam Saint.
I can't remember what the first
one was. What were my questions?
Right, okay. Nightclub, would you have VIP?
Yes, I would.
Dark and dingy or posh?
I would have two floors, one dark and dingy.
No, that's not what that weren't the question, was it?
All right, dark and dingy.
Okay.
All right.
Price.
Same as Envy, minimum a tenner, special events, 20 to 30.
Opening act, first night.
Good job.
Sonny Federa.
Okay. Who would be your resident?
This will change on a daily basis, but right now I'm going Calvin Harris.
Calvin Harris, okay. Just
that's interesting.
Okay, all right. So no cheap DJ there for your residency. All right. No one's mentioned Tiesto, but anyway.
Because since he left, I just want to add to that. Since he left the trance scene, he's not
good. No, he's me. I mean, it doesn't matter whether he was it was either, but yeah, I'd have Tiësto and Carl Cox in there at some point in there.
Tiësto's a great DJ, don't get me wrong, but
I would have him in there.
Since he moves from trance, he's just not.
I would put it this way. If I had the club, I would make sure that at least once while the club was the hottest thing in town, the hottest thing in the country, or hottest thing in nowhere. But anyway, I would make sure if the money was there and make it financially viable. And obviously therefore you need a place big enough. So, but yes, I would have your legends in there. You know what I mean? Your old school legends, your new school legends, and obviously people that transcend the...
Hang on a minute. We went through this legends thing earlier and you're not a legend unless you're dead, you said.
Technically. No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You make a new word for legend.
Not what you said earlier. You went on and on and on about this and you said to be a legend, you have to be dead.
That's the absolute technical word use of, yes. I mean, that's what it means. Legend that you're basically, you are dead, but living legend. How about that?
No, yeah. I said that and you weren't. No, that's acceptable.
I didn't, it's a variation. Okay, we have the masters of their skills. Yeah, the masters, the pioneers, the leaders in their genres of
well, dance one music. Of the pioneers you just can't have, mate, Frankie Knuckles.
Well, no, they're not all around, are they? But I mean,
he's a legend.
Would I have Carl Cox in there doing an 8 or 10 hour set? Yeah, if I could afford to do it, why not? Would you have a 24-hour license?
Oh yes.
Oh yeah. You got it.
Do you know what? I'd be the worst club owner. I'd be off my nut, raving with everybody. I wouldn't. I'd just lose track of time and what's going on with the club. I'd just be raving
because there's only one in London that has a 24-hour license. This is Fabric, isn't it?
Fabric. Yeah.
But yeah, I'd have a 20.
Egg used to be open from 10 at night till 1 in the afternoon. I've done a couple of stints at Egg. And the journey home, yeah, it was rough. It was rough.
My longest stint at Egg was, we got there virtually bang on opening. So probably about 10:15. I think we left there about 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And that isn't long for some compared to some people. You know what I mean?
Some people get there before it's open, they're queuing outside and they're being pushed out by the doorman at the end of the night because they're still wanting to go on. It's not easy.
I mean, obviously, assuming that you can get a 24-hour license in the right place, in the right location, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, but yeah,
I would.
There is one in Leicester, but whether they actually are 24-hour licensed, I don't know.
Who was that?
It's one of the, it's not 2B Funky. Was it 2B Funky or one of the ones like that? There was one that had a 24-hour license.
Can't remember.
We did come across it and I was like, oh, 24-hour license. But how practical that is, I don't know. But obviously, you'd have to be somewhere like London or something like that, or Birmingham or something like that, and a major city for that to really to work. But yes, I'd have a 24-hour license.
I'll be honest, I don't know.
If possible.
Fabric, I don't think, really ever used it.
I've
never been to an event where it's been 24 hours there.
They use a good, like Egg, you said with Egg, they use a good chunk of like, you know, 28 hours, 18, 20 hours, something like that. I don't know whether they will have had something that goes 24 hours, but on a regular basis.
No. It'd be more like, you know, starting at 10 or starting at 11 and finishing at like 2-3 in the afternoon.
It'd be 12 hours, 15 hours, whatever. But yes, they have got a license for 24. I don't know whether that's 7 days a week or just the weekends, but they've got a 24-hour license. They've got to make money as well, haven't they? So comes a point where obviously they're, okay, it depends obviously on your drinks license and stuff like that, but yeah, they don't do it all the time. But a 24-hour license gives you the flexibility to have some proper parties, and to have 2 or 3 events in the same time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you can have one event rolling in, and the next one, another promoter rolling in after that, another promoter rolling in after that. So yeah, 24-hour licenses would be brilliant to have, wouldn't it? Any other questions you can think of, Mr. Saint? Where would your club be placed in the world? No answer.
Out of space by the sounds of it.
No, I was just reading something about Fabric. That's all.
So where would this club be?
Where would I place my nightclub?
Irrespective, like, the money's not an object. It doesn't matter. You've got a second home there, so it doesn't matter anyway. All that kind of stuff. Yeah, logistics, not a problem. Where would you have it?
I know where my heart's telling me to have it, but it's not practical.
We going on the Wenger boys trip to Ibiza?
No. Oh, can I go global?
Global, yeah, I'm just saying global. Mine would be in Ibiza, because why not? If you're going to Ibiza, then the prices... The prices are definitely not local prices. The prices are going up. 50 quid in the door.
I would have one in Ibiza, one in Magaluf, and one in Napa.
Oh, Napa's a shout.
I'd have three.
Yeah, because he'd be on the garage ride, wouldn't he? Yeah.
I could have both.
So... It's easy to say where you'd put them in the world. I'm going to keep it UK based, and you can't have it in your home city. So, London.
I'd have it London. Second choice would be Birmingham. If we go on global, it'd be Ibiza. Probably one of the American states in America, something like that. Vegas is the obvious one, but I don't know. Probably Miami.
Americans, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I'd probably go Miami. To be fair,
Miami's got a good dance scene.
Yeah, Miami.
I would like London because it's
yeah, you're not allowed in London.
You got to pick
somewhere. I live in Essex, mate. I live in Essex. I was born in Essex. London's not where I come from.
You can't have it in the nearest major city to you. How about that?
Yeah, you're barred from London. You cannot go there.
That don't surprise me.
That's right. You come down to my club, which is based in London. That's fine. That's not a problem.
Go on. Where would you have it? What town?
I suppose probably Manchester. Probably Manchester or Newcastle.
That's where my heart tells me to put it, in Newcastle.
I would go. I said Birmingham, but just thinking about it more logistically and everything like that. It's not necessarily...
Long story short.
I would go London, then I go Liverpool.
Yeah, but on the way to Liverpool, you might as well go to Birmingham.
Because Birmingham's kind of that way. From where I live is that way, down the south a bit. And Liverpool's pretty much straight across.
Yeah, but I'm not being funny. Money's no object.
No, I'll
get a helicopter.
I'd get in my plane, mate, and fly down.
I'll tell you for why, because we've never played in all these places, and we never played to some of the places we have.
I've played in London, thank you very much.
Yeah, okay. We've all played in Glasgow. Not Glasgow, in Scotland, but
Falkirk.
Yeah, but it's not one we want to shout about, is it, that one? But anyway, let's move on. I would say that
I thought of our own.
Going with consensus of people in terms of parties and stuff like that, and obviously the crowds and stuff like that, I'd probably go London, and then because obviously in London will be different than anywhere else in the country. Period, because it's London, isn't it? Yeah, it's your capital. But yeah, I'd go Liverpool, and maybe Birmingham or maybe Glasgow.
Newcastle.
Newcastle's, but I've never been to Newcastle.
You've got to go. Both of you have got to go to Newcastle. It's the best place ever.
I've never been out in Newcastle. I've been close. Been to furthest nearest I've been is Durham. So it's in Northumberland. I've never been out. Out and about.
Granted, I was 14, but I've still been to Durham.
So for now, thank you for watching and listening to the Dance Party 247 podcast.
And for watching, listening.
It might also be worth mentioning to the viewers to leave their ideal club, locations, etc. in the comments below.
Oh, so we're talking of like the events we've got coming up. So we're talking the 21st at the Holly Bush in Loughton, and on the 4th of June in Cube in Leicester, and on the 5th of June, to be confirmed, the Plume of Feathers in Loughton again. And then on the 9th of July, we have back at Cube, Asylum, more dates to be announced. Happy now? Thank you for watching the Dance Party 247 podcast. We're available on Spotify as well. I've been joined this evening with Mr. Sam Saint and Mr. DJ Envy. Catch us at a gig near you somewhere soon. If you're on YouTube, hit notification bell, all that good stuff, and we'll see you next time. Ta-da.